All right, if you will, there we go. I'm going to have you open your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 6, as I have done in the past. I want to look at the historical background of our text of Scripture, which is in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. So while you're turning to Genesis chapter 6, I'm going to put up on the screen here our text for this morning and my expanded definition that I've been using for these weeks of what faith is. The text says this: by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. As I have stated before, faith has two components to it. It is the absolute confidence of things concerning the future with a proper response to that. And certainly we see that in the very first part of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. God communicated to Noah that a flood was coming. Interesting communication. And he told him how to act. And Noah did that. He prepared an ark. It is also the validating proof of the reality of things that cannot be comprehended. When God spoke to Noah and said, there's going to be a flood, he had no idea what that was. I don't know that he ever had seen an ark before. He had no concept of what was going to take place, but he believed God, and consequently he did what was appropriate. And when the waters came, the ark floated and his house was saved and the world was condemned. So the very second part of that fits our definition there. But one of the things that I enjoy most about Scripture is the fact that God records for us real people doing real things. If you would just read Hebrews 11 by itself, you'd look at this and you kind of think it might be somewhat mechanical. God speaks, Noah does, and that's the end of the story. I have a sneaking suspicion, though, that it wasn't quite as neat and clean as Hebrews 11 might seem to make it. Noah was a real person with real doubts like you and I, with real questions, with real problems. In fact, as we survey Genesis chapter 6 this morning, I want to suggest to you at least six different problems that could have come into the mind of Noah as he was doing what God told him to do or preparing to do what God told him to do. Problems that you and I might face. Now, some of these are going to come out a little bit on the comical side. I do not intend by any stretch of the imagination to be putting on a comedy routine here this morning. But what makes them comedic is the fact that it's probably what you and I would do. And maybe we just have to laugh at ourselves sometimes. Let's look at the text. Genesis chapter 6, and beginning at verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. That's, first of all, most important. Noah had a very intimate relationship, fellowship with God. He walked in him. He was in obedience to him. He was in communion with him. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, well, there we have this, that biblical faith is founded solely upon the revelation of God to man, and God is speaking to Noah. So it's possible here for Noah to be exercising faith. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Problem number one comes up right here. And it's the problem of man's conception of God. Possibly, at this point in time, where God says to Noah, I am going to bring violence, or I am going to destroy the whole world. These people are so corrupt. They are so evil. I've had it up to here with them. I'm done. You have found grace, but there's no grace for them anymore. I am bringing judgment. A And Noah, being the modern man that he is, says, wait a minute, God, you can't do that. You're a God of love, not a God of judgment. It's not like you to wipe out the whole world. You are supposed to be long-suffering. And he was. But even longer suffering. And you are supposed to be a God who's redeeming. And he was. But man wasn't wanting his redemption. So God, you shouldn't be a God who is judgmental. That's just not like you, God. You can't do that. And we hear that in the world today concerning any type of justice from God. Ultimately, eternal justice. God isn't a God who casts people into a literal lake of fire which is eternal in its nation. No, there is no such thing as what's called hell. There's no literal fire. And anyone who goes out of this life in an unsaved, whatever that may be, condition, just simply passes into extinction, because God is a God of love and he'd never do that to any. That's cruel and vindictive. And can you imagine Noah saying, wait a minute, that doesn't fit my theology? Of course, you and I would never say anything like that, would we? We'd never say, no, God, you can't do that. That's not like you, would we? Or would we? Second problem, the problem of man's quote-unquote superior wisdom. Not only was God going to destroy all of mankind, but notice the end of verse 13, with the earth. I'm not only going to destroy that which is evil upon the earth, I'm going to destroy the earth also. And Noah comes along and says, wait a minute, God, that's a little rash, don't you think? Aren't you going overboard here? I can understand that you would want to destroy evil man, but what's the earth got to do with it? By the way, God, if you destroy the earth, I'm living on the earth, what am I going to do? Float around in space? You see, God, you don't have to destroy all the earth. All you have to do is destroy the wicked. And God, I know that you're a God who can do the miraculous. All you would have to do is speak from heaven, and every single person existing upon the earth would just fall over and die. After all, you created the world by just speaking a word, and it came into existence. You can just speak and say, let everyone but Noah and his family die, and they're gone. Wouldn't that be a whole lot easier? Lord, I think I've got a better idea. Because, Lord, if you destroy the whole earth, it leaves me kind of hanging in limbo. And even if you have some solution to the problem till things get going again, it's going to be rough for me and my family. Lord, won't you consider my thoughts? Of course, we would never do that, would we? God, I've got a problem, and here's how I want you to solve it. We wouldn't do that, wouldn't we? I heard that laugh. Let's move on before this gets too incriminating. Verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make an ark in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. Noah, now concerning your problem of what's going to happen to you, I've got a solution for you. I want you to build an ark. It's going to be a big ark, big boat. And I want you to make it out of gopher wood. Do you know why it was called gopher wood? Because the ark was so big that the trees right around them were quickly used up, and he had to go for wood. I'm sorry. I want you to put pitch on the outside. I want you to put pitch on the inside. I want you to put a window around the top of it. I want you to have a door in the side of it. I want you to have compartments within it. And Noah says, wait a minute, God. I can't do that all by myself. It's the problem of physical limitations. I'm just one man. And you're asking me to build this big monstrosity of a boat. Do you know how long that's going to take me to do it? And where am I going to get help? All I have is my dad, Lamech, and my grandfather, Methuselah. And you know these old people. All he wants to do is give advice. And it has to be done his way. And I don't know that I can work under those conditions. And understand that when God spoke to Noah about building the ark, his three sons were not yet born. I can't do this all by myself. It'll take too long. I'll never get it done. Do you know how long it took? 120 years. And Noah got it done. But we look at the things that God's Word has for us to do and we say, wait a minute, I can't do that. Like, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Oh, no, I can't do that. Tithe, I can't do that. Witness to your neighbor. No, that's not my spiritual gift. It's a problem of physical limitations. Or, how about this one? Now, I made a joke about the gopher wood. But the fact of the matter is, where was Noah going to get all the stuff necessary to build that thing? Where's the wood going to come from? Where is the pitch going to come? How am I going to get the animals here? That's beyond human comprehension, God. Can't do that. Of course, we would never say anything like that to God, would we? Let's move on. Verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. Here we run into the problem of man's scientific knowledge. Flood? What in the world is that? Rain? Never saw it before. You mean to tell me up above, way out there in the sky, there's water? And you're going to somehow open up the skies and all this water is going to come down? And you're telling me that down below, there's water? Does that sound like there's water under there, God? Nope. Nah, God, that can't work. It's never rained before, and therefore it will never rain. The ground has never opened up before, therefore it will never open up. All things will remain the same since the beginning of the creation. Where did I hear that one before? Now, God, we've got scientific knowledge. You can't do that. And I think God is just sitting in heaven saying, want to bet? Of course, we would never base anything about this world on scientific knowledge, would we? Let's move on. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And thou shalt, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Here enters the problem of man's fears. Okay, God, you're telling me I build this boat. Once I get this big thing built, you're going to bring animals to me. and I put them in the boat, and that's going to keep them alive. God, do you really understand what you are asking? Let me put it one word. Skunks. Lord, you're asking me to take two skunks, put them on a boat with all kinds of animals that are not necessarily friendly to skunks. Do you know how unpleasant that is going to be? Lord, you just don't understand, do you? And Lord, supposing that there is water up there and it comes down, and supposing that there's water underneath and it comes up, is this boat really going to float? I mean, what if all the animals decide one day that they're going to get on the left side of the boat and that thing tips over? Then what am I going to do? Interesting. The dimensions of the boat were perfectly suited to sustaining anything during a flood. What if the boat leaks? You know, what if there's a little knot hole in that gopher wood that just kind of crumbles under the pressure and the water set? What am I going to do then? It's not like there's going to be some port that I can go into, some safe harbor, and make repairs. There won't be anything. God, what will I do? And God says, if you do it according my directions, you won't have that problem. The boat will float. It won't spring a leak. And don't worry about the skunks. I can tame lions if I have to. There's one other problem that's not specifically in the text here, but I think it was a real problem too. It's the problem of people's perceptions. Okay, God, so I'm going to build this boat, and I'm going to build it according to your dimensions, and it's going to be big, and you're going to bring water out of the sky and water out of the earth, and I'm going to have these animals, and they're going to live harmoniously together for however long it takes, and the boat's going to float, and me and my family are going to survive. And once I start building this thing, what are the neighbors going to say? Lord, can you imagine I'm out here and I'm building away, and good old Fred next door comes up to me and says, Noah, what are you doing? Well, I'm building a boat. Well, why are you building a boat? Because God's going to bring judgment upon the earth. There's going to be water coming out of the sky and up out of the ground, and everyone in this world is going to perish. Even you. Me? Yeah, you. Well, why should I perish? Because you're evil. Because God says you're a sinner. Do you realize, God, that a holier-than-thou attitude like that is never going to win anybody? I need to be nice to them. That's not going to get it done. If I don't be nice. And once I tell them that I'm building a boat for something that has never, ever been seen before, do you know what they're going to think of me? You right-wing, fundamentalist, religious lunatic. They're going to call me all kinds of crazy names. And the Lord said to Noah, and I'll have one for them, dead. Of course, you and I would never worry about how the world perceives us as we seek to be obedient to the will of God. We never care about that, do we? We never try to model the world, do we? Or do we? Verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Despite all the possible objections, and I don't know that necessarily Noah had any single one of these, but it's possible. He did what God told him to do. And in doing so, He wrought the salvation of His entire family and brought to pass the condemnation of an evil world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Four things that I want to ask you this morning in summation. Number one, will everything concerning the will of God seem reasonable for you to do? And the answer is no, not necessarily. There are things that God requires of us, asks us to do according to His Word in our personal lives, and some of those things aren't necessarily seemingly reasonable. I don't think it was reasonable in the world's opinion to build an ark. But He did it. Will everything concerning the will of God seem capable of being done? And the answer once again is no, not necessarily. There are things that God asks of us that you will scratch your head and say, how am I going to do that? And the answer is you're not. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Number three, will everything concerning the will of God be pleasurable to do? And the answer is no, not necessarily. I can imagine there were probably a few warm days in that 120 years that Noah was preparing the ark that he didn't want to be out there building. That the sweat was pouring down off of his brow and all he wanted to do is sit by the pool and drink iced tea. But had he done that, the ark might not have been finished on time. Not everything in the will of God is going to be pleasurable to do, but necessary. Number four, will everything concerning the will of God be profitable to do? Oh, gotcha, if you were repeating the first three answers. The answer is yes. Not necessarily in monetary value, but till it was all said and done, what seemed unreasonable, what seemed incapable, what seemed unpleasurable turned out to be very, very profitable. Noah lived to tell the story. Nobody else did. God reveals His will for us in His Word. By faith, put your name in there. Being told the will of God of things not seen as yet, do you move with fear and prepare for tomorrow? If you do, it will be the saving of your house. If you don't, it'll be the ruin of it. Let's pray. Father, a verse of Scripture in Hebrews, a passage of Scripture in Genesis that we've probably heard a number of times. But may the reality of what Noah did strike our hearts and cause us to move with reverence in the very same way that Noah did, to be obedient to the will of God in all things, that we might profit like Noah did. May we be mindful that not all things in your will necessarily seem reasonable. Not all things in your will necessarily seem doable. Not all things in your word or your will for us will seem pleasurable. But all things in your will for us ultimately will be profitable for your glory and our salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.